Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew, the book of Matthew, Matthew 5, verses 1 to 16, that very well-known passage about the Beatitudes, but our text will be verses 14 to 16. Matthew 5, verse 1 to 16. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." Then we get to our text verses for today. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So far the reading. Sermon today is entitled, "Jesus Bids Us Shine." In the heart of the business district of Dallas, Texas, there's a unique but slightly weird-looking building. If you look at this grey-white concrete structure that stands about 28 metres high, it doesn't really look like much, does it? I mean, those spiry things sort of draw your eyes in, but so does something that's really ugly. But when you walk inside, your breath is taken away, and you have to marvel at the light that flows in through the multicoloured stained glass windows called the Glory Window. When I saw this picture some time ago, I was again reminded of the story of the young girl who went with her parents on a European holiday. And as you do when you're in Europe, you go and visit some of the great cathedrals. And this was her first time in such great buildings, and she was enthralled by the beautiful stained glass windows. She was especially struck by how the light flooded into those cold and dark cathedrals through the windows that pictured scenes from the Bible. But as holidays go, so soon it was all over and they returned home. And the first Sunday back at church, the Sunday school teacher asked her what she thought about these great churches of Europe. She struggled for a few moments to find the right words, and then she said, "Sir, I love the sense of awesomeness and the hugeness of who God must be." And then she told the teacher about the massive stained glass windows with the pictures from the Bible, pictures of the saints. Now the teacher, as teachers are wont to do, saw this as a teaching opportunity. So he asked her if she could tell him what a saint is. And as the images of those beautiful stained glass windows flicked through her mind, she said, "A saint is a person through whom the light shines. A saint is a person through whom the light shines." Friends, what a wonderful image that is, that we as believers, as saints, are supposed to be. The light of Christ has to shine through us. We have no light of our own, of course, but the light of Christ shines through us. The light of God's Son, Jesus, shines through us to bring light into this dark world. And this is exactly what our text today is about. It's about shining the light of Christ into the world. In this passage, Jesus gives us insight into living in the light, into what living in the light is all about. It tells us about the basis of living in the light, the result of living in the light, and also the purpose of living in the light. Let's look first at the basis of living in the light. You know, when God led his people from Egypt, he was visibly present with them. During the day, he was present in the cloud, and at night in the pillar of light that led them. God's people were to follow this guiding light that didn't just lead and protect them, but it also brightened their lives. And it was this glorious imagery that Jesus referred to when he proclaimed, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is saying what we sang earlier, "I am the light of the world. Come and follow me." Friends, Jesus is the light of the world. He's not only the author of life, but he is the very basis and the light of life. He was the one who was present in that pillar of light, that pillar of fire. And now here in our passage today, Jesus himself tells his disciples, and he tells us today, you are the light. Jesus, the light of the world, is saying that we who believe in him are lights ourselves. Moreover, we are lights to those around us, to our community, to our city, to our country, and yes, even to the world. But friends, for lights to be to be of any use at all, they have to be visible. You've got to be able to see them. And this is what Jesus is on about when he says, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. When Maggie and I visited Malaysia a few years ago, we stayed in an area called the Genting Highlands. And one feature of that area was a resort that is set right at the top of a mountain. Another feature was the mist that covered much of the area at night. But even through that mist, you could still see the lights of that resort from many kilometers away, guiding you, calling out to you, as it were. In a sense, its light gave it away. It makes it visible. It makes it stand out from the darkness and the mist that surrounds it. And brothers and sisters, true believers are like this. If we are indeed in Christ, his light has to shine through us. Even in the midst of difficulties or opposition that may surround us, we are to be visible. That's the point that Jesus is making here. And he goes on to expand that with that short parable about the lamp when he says, "Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house." Now the Greek word that's used here for lamp refers to a container that was filled with oil and then that was burned to give light to the room. The lamp was placed where it would have the maximum impact, up on a lampstand. And if you think about it, as lamps, you and I have been placed exactly where God wants us to be placed. It is he that does the placing of the lamps. Friends, brothers and sisters, the basis, the foundation, the thing that underpins living in the light is that, like Christ, you and I must be visible. We must be visible in the darkness or in the midst of the mist that surrounds us in our dark world. We must be as visible as that city on a hill or that lamp that's put on a lampstand to bring light into a house. And remember that the light that we're talking about here is the light of Christ shining in us, shining through us. We are the light of the world. Jesus says so. Paul also reminds us that although we were once in darkness, he says, we are now light in the Lord. And that has to mean that we have to walk as children of light. So what does walking as children of the light look like in our lives? Let me tell you the story of Amber. Amber was a young Christian girl, but she was always a bit out there at times. One day she was witnessing to someone on a train, and, And she was getting quite frustrated with the one chap who just wasn't willing to listen to her. So Amber leaned forward and with her face just a couple of centimeters from the guy's face, said, "Look me in the eyes. Can't you see Jesus looking at you?" Now people, can I urge you not to go about witnessing about Jesus in that way? Our text isn't saying that people will see the light of Jesus in our eyes. Listen again to what Jesus says. "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to whom? To God the Father who is in heaven." Shine is what Jesus is saying. Shine, he commands. Perhaps a good paraphrase would be, if you are light, then shine. Shine like a light. It's not an optional extra. We're simply to shine in the place where the mighty God has placed us. Each one of us is simply called to light up our little corner. For Jesus is made visible to others by how we live. He's made known to others by your and by my good works. Our presence in someone's life is meant to shine the light on the grace of God revealed in Jesus. The light that's been placed in those who have accepted Jesus as Savior, that light shines out through how we interact with others, by what we say, but especially by what we do. These good works that verse 16 talks about, they have to do with the qualities that are set out in the Beatitudes that we read earlier. They especially have to do with the idea of righteous living, with works of compassion, of mercy, of grace, of care. When we as Christians live out the Word of God in this way, we shine the light of Christ into others' lives. When we live out the Word of God in this way, others start to see the beauty and the attractiveness of Christ. When we love those who hate us, others see the light of Christ. When we give generously to those in need, others see the light of Christ. When we feed the hungry, others see the light of Christ. When we act with integrity, others see the light of Christ. When we clothe the naked, visit the sick, welcome the stranger, we show something of the grace of God and the light of Christ into a darkened world. So are our lights shining? Is your light shining? And if it is shining, how brightly is it shining? Are our lights perhaps like lights that have a dimmer switch that's turned right down or just sort of just on? Perhaps our lights are hidden under an upturned dustbin. Beloved in Christ, Jesus suffered the forsakenness on that cross, the forsakenness of the cross, so that we could live, so that we could live in his light. How then can we not do that? How can we not shine for Jesus, each one of us, each one in our little corner? How can we not shine for Jesus? That's the basis of living in the light. Shining for Jesus because of what he's done for us. The basis of living in the light is that we must be as visible as a city on a hill or as a light or a lamp on a lampstand. But what happens when we shine for Jesus? What's the result of living in the light? We've looked at some of those items already, but the result of living in the light. Now, I read earlier that wherever the explorer James Cook went, he took with him a packet of English seeds. And wherever he landed, he scattered these seeds in suitable places. He would leave the ship and wander up from the shore, quietly scattering the seeds wherever he went. And in that way, the flowers and the herbs of his native land were spread across the world. That's the sort of thing that we as believers ought to be doing too. Not sowing physical seeds, but sowing spiritual seeds wherever we go. Living in the light, shining our light into a darkened world, is exactly what sowing spiritual seeds is about. That's what you and I are called to do. It's what each one of us are called to do. Like Cook scattering those seeds across the world, it is your and my responsibility to sow seeds of the gospel of grace, wherever our paths may take us, in this barren and in this dark world. But we know, don't we, that the sowing of seeds can often be a difficult thing. Actually, perhaps not the sowing part, but the waiting part. It's like the sower that Jesus speaks about in Mark 4, that has to wait for the seed to germinate, to grow. You see, we can get discouraged very easily, especially when we really want to fulfill this task of being beacons of light to others. And this applies not just to us as individuals, but also to us as a church. It's discouraging to not see spiritual growth or see a lack of interest or involvement. It's disheartening to see a seed that's been planted, that seed sprouts, but then wanes and shrivels as people start living lives that are about their own needs rather than about living as Christ wants them to live, living as Christ in all that we do. It's depressing when we try to shine our lights by getting involved in something like Christian education in our schools. But then we do not see an uptake. But beloved, we are not here by chance. Now this is where you and I have been planted. We've been placed here by the Lord God himself. We are his lamps. We are his lights, and he has placed us here. And right here is where he wants us to shine for him and for his glory. All we can do is sow. We may not see results immediately. We may not even see results in our time in this church. But in the Lord's good time, there will be gospel fruit. After the seed has been planted, we have no control about what that seed does. That's God's business. What's our business is to sow that seed. That's our task. That's how we shine for Jesus. That's how our lights must shine. And we can shine our lights with supreme confidence because, after all, God is in control. He is responsible for generating new life. He's the one responsible for generating new life in hardened hearts. You and I have been sent and are sent into a lost and dying world to tell others about what Jesus has done for us. If you've been saved by the grace of God, then friend, you have a story to tell. You have a testimony to deliver. You have a light to shine. It might take time. It might take as long as we live. But that gospel seed will germinate in someone's heart. Someone that God has placed on your way and on my way. We sow, he convicts. And the fruits of that seed will be like the fruits of the mustard seed. It will be abundant. People, as we shine our lights, we are planting the seeds for God's kingdom to grow. And he will make it grow. That's why we need to faithfully continue shining the light of Christ that is in us, as his people, as his flock. Living in the light, shining the light of God's grace into others' lives, allows us to plant the gospel seed in their lives. But a lamp can only continue to give light if its oil is burning and if it is constantly replenished. The lights of a city on a hill are only visible if they are connected to the power grid. And the only way that you can shine and continue shining is if you remain plugged into the spiritual power source, Jesus. We must be plugged in to Jesus. To continue to shine brightly, our lamp oil needs to be continually replenished. And that can only happen if we spend time with the Lord. It can only happen if we dig deep into the Word of God. It can only happen if we are willing to commit the time and the effort into getting to know our God better and better and better. It can only happen if we are willing to fully trust in Him and in His provision for our lives. It can only happen when we are fed from His Word and through our prayers to Him. This is our spiritual power source. It's only in Jesus and in His Word that we can find the nourishment and the replenishment that we need to shine for Him. That begs the question, how much time are you willing, are we willing to invest in that? How much are you willing to devote to the things of God? To keep your light shining? To let it shine brighter? How much time? How much of your time, how much of our time, how much of our effort are we willing to invest in spending time with our God so that our light may shine brighter? The basis of living in the light is that, like Christ, we must be as visible as a city on a hill or a lamp on a lampstand. The passage also reminds us that shining the light of God's grace into others' lives allows us to plant the seed of the gospel into their lives. So let's lastly then turn to the purpose of living in the light. Living in the light isn't for our advantage. It's not for our benefit. It's not so that people can praise us. Not so that people can say, oh, what a good Christian he or she is. It's not to glorify ourselves. In this last verse of this passage, Jesus is quite clear what the purpose of such living is. It's so that God's name will be glorified. That's why we are to shine, so that those who see what we do and how we live will give glory to the Father in heaven. That's the purpose of living in the light, of being lights. That's the purpose of being lamps that bring light into the life of others. This is the purpose of doing good works of mercy and compassion and care so that God's name will be glorified. The Westminster Shorter Catechism tells us the same thing in question and answer one, where it says our chief purpose in life is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. This is the supreme purpose in life for everyone. This is what living is about. So how do we do that? Let's just look at a few ways that we can bring glory to our God. We bring glory to God, we glorify Him by proclaiming His Word. Presenting the Word clearly and accurately when we speak to others always gives God glory. We honor Him, in other words, by making His Word known and understood. We glorify God when we pray according to His will. Didn't Jesus say, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son? We glorify God when we pray according to His will. We glorify Him by bearing fruit and leading others to Christ. And as our passage tells us, we glorify God through our good works. We glorify Him by acting with compassion, with care, by being just and honest in our dealings with others, and in how we relate to others. And when we do this, when others see us doing this, that is when the seed is sown into their hearts. That is when our lights shine. That is what living in the light is about. When we shine with the light of Jesus, we glorify the God who has given us everything. We glorify the God who has given us our very lives. We glorify the God who has given us eternal life through His Son, the light of the world. How can we do any less if we are truly grateful for this eternal flame that has been lit in us? How can we do any less? Brothers and sisters, friends, think back for a moment to that picture of light streaming in through stained glass windows into a dark and cold cathedral, providing colour and light and warmth into an otherwise cold and dark place. Think of that city on a hill shining brightly. Think of the lamp on the lampstand lighting up the room. Think of a daring explorer scattering seeds across the world. Are these pictures of where we are at in our relationship with God? Are these pictures of how we are fulfilling the Great Commission? Are our lamps visible? Are they burning brightly? Or have they been hidden under the nearest trash can? Are we visible Christians? Or are we closet Christians? If we are closet Christians, it's probably time in a more cultural language to come out of the closet. Brother and sister in our Lord Jesus Christ, as citizens of God's heavenly kingdom, may you and I sow the seeds of the gospel of grace wherever our paths may take us in this dark and in this barren world. I pray that you and I will be people through whom the light shines. Let's pray. Lord, you've called us to shine the light of Christ into the world. But it's a world, O Lord, that's fairly unreceptive and it's often quite dark. So we pray that you will give us the words to say so that the seed of the gospel can be planted in the hearts of those with whom you bring us into contact. Help us to act with compassion and mercy, with grace, with love, and also with understanding and wisdom. Guide us and direct us so that each one of us can shine our light for Jesus in whichever little corner we may find ourselves. In his name we pray. Amen.